if I want to stay consistently happy and bright and light, and I feel like that's kind of my mission and purpose now, it's going to be amazing in that I can help so many more people.
83% of Americans identify as not very happy, which can hold you back and negatively affect your relationships and your business. On this podcast, we discuss the proven steps to happiness so you can restore balance and rekindle your joy.
Welcome to another edition of How to Be Happier for Entrepreneurs. I am so excited to have Joe Turner from Idaho on today's call. It's going to be a treat. How are you, Joe?
I'm amazing. How are you?
I'm awesome. So a little secret, Joe is one of my many clients that found success, and I just want her to walk through her story because our story is pretty amazing. And I want to start by asking Joe, how did you find me?
So my business partner, Nick, also has a podcast and it's real estate focused. I run a small real estate team in North Idaho. And I just was listening to his episode and there were certain things you were saying. I was like, oh my gosh, this is me. Like where I think, yeah, I'm pretty happy, but why do I keep seeing these patterns in my life that I just can't get there, feel fulfillment and be consistently happy? And then you started talking about your subconscious and the work you did and how like it was just life transforming what you went through. And I was like, yeah, I want that. I want to figure out what he did because I knew what I knew at the time. You know, I've been in real estate for 7 years and you follow Tony Robbins and all these motivational speakers. And logically, I knew that happiness was a choice and all these things. But I just still the patterns in my life and things that were happening, I felt like there was more I needed to do.
I've heard that over and over and over again from my clients. I read every self-help book on the planet. I went to Tony Robbins and I couldn't change until I met you. And the very simple reason is because you never did the subconscious work and the subconscious work was driving the behavior that you wanted to change. So Joe, tell us a little bit more. Why did you pick up on the phone and call me? What were you looking for help with?
I think the main thing is I felt like so many things in my life were amazing. My business is going amazing. I just met at the time he was my boyfriend, now he's my fiance. And so many things were amazing. I had no reason to be sad. And yet 2 to 3 times a week, I was just completely depressed, like almost couldn't get out of bed. And I logically, I'm like, this is just a story I'm telling my brain, get out of it, snap out of it. And I just had the hardest time. I would say it's like going down a rabbit hole and I just couldn't get back out. And I really wanted to figure out for my family's sake, for my future fiance, future husband's sake. I knew that, I mean, I could blame things around my circumstances, but I just knew I had more control over it. I just couldn't figure it out.
So 2 to 3 times a week, you would have these days where you just had this like deep darkness, depression, sadness. Is that accurate?
Yes.
Okay. So we're going to come back to that because I'm going to ask you how that has all changed. When you called me, when you reached out to me, were there things that you were skeptical about when you reached out?
Yes. I was like, how can you do 5 sessions over Zoom or 6 sessions, whatever it was, and just be transformed and just I'm not going to have low days anymore after just a few sessions? Because I had been to traditional therapy before too with a past relationship. And because I'm a logical person, I just really thought that I just needed to figure it out with my brain and to think like that you could be hypnotized. And the only experience I had with hypnosis was what I saw a magician do one time, right? And I was like, I don't know. Like, I just didn't know how it worked.
So you're skeptical about how in the world can someone transform in 5 sessions over 5 weeks? How long had you been going to therapy?
That was like maybe a 6 to 9 month thing I did a couple of years ago. But yeah. In between that, I mean, I would listen to all the self-help podcasts and read the books and thought I was really working on things, but just still not quite getting there.
So you were skeptical about how in the world can my life radically change in 5 weeks? Your brain's probably telling you at least months and maybe years. And It sounded like you were skeptical around the hypnosis part of it, which is a big part of this. And we'll get to why it's a big part of it. I already kind of touched on it, the subconscious part. What were you scared or skeptical about when it came to the hypnosis part?
I didn't know. I just thought maybe I would be not remember it, like just put me in a trance and you could say whatever you want. Like I really tried to just keep an open mind, but I didn't know. My only preconceived notions, like I said, was seeing a magician play tricks on stage when I was in high school. So yeah, I wasn't really scared, but I was just unsure, I guess.
And what ultimately led you to be like, because I can remember the call like it was yesterday. You're like, I want to do this. Let's do this. It wasn't like, let me think about it. You're like, yeah, let's do this. What kind of pushed you over the edge in that half an hour conversation we had where you just were like, I'm going to take the chance?
I just felt like there was no reason to say no. I mean, yeah, it's an investment financially. also I have the money. So what's the big deal? And nothing else had worked. I've even tried medications and nothing else worked. I'm like, well, this will just be one more way to figure out it didn't work if it doesn't work. However, I'm very happy to say it did tremendously help me.
So tell us of those things that you were skeptical about. What did you actually learn through the process? Could it happen in 5 weeks and how did hypnosis go?
Yes. I mean, obviously it totally happened. And it's so funny now because now I'm so used to being like this. I was just speaking to my friends and then I'm going on the podcast. Did I really change? And they were like, oh my gosh, you changed so dramatically. But now I'm just used to being more in this happy, content state. So it's hard to even remember what I used to be like. And I'm sorry, what was the rest of your question?
So you came and you didn't know me. You heard me on a podcast. You're like, I'm going to talk to this guy. And you had these things that you were concerned about. Like, could we do it in 5 weeks? And about the hypnosis, you were skeptical about both those things. Rightfully so. Like, I agree. If 3 years ago, if someone had come to me, I'd been like, hypnosis? Like, no, how's hypnosis going to fix me in over 5 weeks? I've personally been in therapy for 30 years and I still had all my issues. So what truth came out of that?
Yeah, the hypnosis, it was just taking me back to some very key memories as a child that I kind of knew consciously what happened, but I didn't realize the stories I was still deeply holding on to and then the sadness I was still carrying with me and just that I really didn't love myself because I needed to prove myself type of story that was subconsciously playing out all the time. And even when you start by looking in the mirror and telling yourself you love yourself every day and saying, good morning, Joe, I love you. And first that was like, oh, this feels weird to say. And it's so obvious to me now. I'm like, yeah, of course I love myself. And then not in like an ego way, just in a grateful way. Like, I don't know how to explain it, but just going through the sessions with you and that process and loving myself as that little 6-7-year-old child and comforting and having compassion for that. And then compassion for my parents instead of being in this bitter indifference with some of that as well, just was really, I don't know, life-changing for me.
So did the results happen in 5 weeks?
Yeah. I mean, they happened right from the start, right from the start of the awareness and the exercises, intercises that you had me start doing in the hypnosis right from the start. I mean, I went to sleep with and then the customized one. I mean, yeah, it's hard to pinpoint like what exactly was the thing that changed me. I just think it was all of it together. And now having these tools where I said, I'm not perfect. I still envy you that you just seem like you always are so happy. And I have my moments still where, but I just, the awareness is 5 billion times more there where I'm like, is this really true? You're feeling sad about this? And I just can't thank you enough.
You're so welcome. And by the way, you must have spoken to me at a real estate meeting because I got a call from someone yesterday and they've signed up in Idaho. So I can't wait to work with that person. So you mentioned in hypnosis, you were before hypnosis, you were aware of some things that happened in your childhood, but you weren't aware of the effect that they had on you. Mm-hmm. So people think that trauma is what the bad things that happen to them. And those are actually traumatic events. The actual trauma is the story that we tell ourselves around those events, right? Mm-hmm. So you knew the event happened. You didn't really understand the existing trauma that went along with it. And that is your beautiful little 6-year-old brain was doing its job. What it was doing is it was saying, I've got to make sense of why this is happening to me. Why are these bad things happening to me? And most of the time, it's the child says, well, I must deserve it. I must be bad. At least that's what I did in my situation. Because think about this. If the child thinks I'm in a bad situation because I'm bad, if I'm good, will the situation change? So those thoughts around I'm bad absolutely help you as a 6-year-old. But as a 40-year-old, do they help you?
No.
No. Was that ultimately what was causing you to have 2 or 3 days a week of depression and sadness and loneliness and all the other bad feelings?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, it was just stories and dwelling on myself. And at the heart of that was just feeling not enough or loving myself and wanting that from other people or having expectations out of whack. And I just think like, it's so funny when you meet people or you see problems now, you're just like, have compassion for them. And you just wonder what happened to them. And if they just loved themselves, like how much better everyone would be. And so now, I mean, I don't have these aspirations to change the world by any means, but if I can be a brighter light to my family and friends around me, that's all I can do. I mean,
so amazing. I'm so proud of you. You now feel compassion for people that you didn't feel compassion for. Why do you think that is? Why do you think you can feel compassion now?
I think it's probably because I love myself and I have compassion for what I went through. And so I can just see that so many people were where I was before. still will continue to work on. And so it's just, I don't know how to explain it.
You explained it absolutely perfectly, Joe. The reality is, how can one person have compassion for themselves if they don't love themselves? Mm-hmm. So by developing self-love, you develop self-compassion. And so now that you have compassion and you're like, the world is such a better place. Did you used to judge other people more than you do now?
More than now, yeah. I don't think I was ever like a harsh judger of people. And I still have moments where I'll catch myself and then, but way more quickly go to more of a questioning and a compassion angle than how dare they be like that or something.
Yeah, because how dare they be like that? You probably judged yourself, because if you lack self-love, you judge yourself a lot, right? Mm-hmm. So when you make that shift, isn't it amazing to look at someone now and instead of judging them, because when you're judging another human being, you're really judging yourself. Isn't it such a relief and such a blessing and such freedom that you can now look at someone? And like you said, you're not perfect. I'm not perfect. No one's perfect. But we mostly now look at someone, and whether they're acting poorly or behaving poorly or doing something we don't agree, rather than go to judgment, we go to compassion and say, oh, they must be hurting. I wish I could extend a hand and help them. Tell us the difference. How does that feel?
It feels amazing that you just feel lighter and brighter. And I remember when we first met, you said kind of the goal, because I would have a lot of high highs and low lows, and you wanted it to get rid of those high highs and low lows. And I was like, but I like the high highs. And you're like, no, but we're just going to radiate here instead of the back and forth. But I like to think of it more as an up and down. Like I used to go up, down. And now I just radiate more here. It's like a floor. Now I told you after our last session, it's like, what's the difference now? And I'm like, I can't even go below the floor to get to that depth of sadness that I used to. And it's crazy to me that even now, even when I've had a couple of moments or whatever, it's nowhere near the depth that I used to just go down and sink into.
Amazing. So you have literally like set a floor, and your brain is like, I may go to the floor. I like being at the bed level. I may go to the floor, but I'm never going through the floor to the basement. So let's talk a little bit about when you find yourself going to the floor now. We talked beforehand and you said it's like it used to happen 2 to 3 times a week. I lose track of timing. How long has it been since we kind of finished our coaching session?
I think a couple months now since we finished. Yeah, maybe there's been little ones and then one maybe bigger incident where I felt like before it would be a day, right? And then that bigger one was maybe like a few hours.
Okay. All right. So I think, and you can correct me if I'm wrong. So we started and I think you went on vacation 1 week. So the whole thing probably lasted closer to probably 7 or 8 weeks. So let's just call it 2 months. And then we've been done for about 2 or 3 months. Wasn't there a period of time for 2 months, say, where you didn't have any of these bad days?
Yes. When I was working with you and really on top of the tools, right, by checking my emotion tracker and listening to the hypnosis every morning, every night, religiously, I felt in that I was just on top of the world. Like I was just kind of almost not skeptical, but just like, is this really? Since then, life happens and there will always be challenges. And I just feel like I'm so much better equipped to deal with those now, and hopeful that even when I had that incident, I started listening to the hypnosis again for a few days and like, okay, like just trying to get back to those. It's just like exercising your body. We all know that you're going to get out of shape if you stop exercising. And I don't think this is any different. You have to keep reading and filling your mind with the good stuff, the good reminders, the gratitude journals, the everything that has helped me. And it's not even work, though. It's fun things. You just have to get in the habit of staying consistent with it, I think.
The student has become the teacher. I mean, you're speaking my language now. Amazing. The daily emotional tracker, I think, is a huge point to this. And all I'm in this world for now is to make an impact. So if you're listening and you're like, man, I wish I had that emotional tracker, I'll give it to you for free. Just go to bradchandler.com/tracker. So you said something that I kind of expected, and I'm glad that you were vulnerable enough to say you kind of stopped listening to the recording, right? So It could have been that because you got out of your daily practice and your routine, you fell back into that kind of despair or dark place for a couple hours, right? So when I went through my transformation, there was 2 times in the first 6 months where I felt like I can't maintain this. I'm going back to the old Brad. Like, what the hell? And it was because I got out of listening to my recordings and doing the meditation and doing my journaling and reading my books, right? So as soon as I got back into them, a day later, boom, I'm the new Brad bouncing around, right? So your subconscious wants to pull you back to the old Joe, and your conscious mind's like, no, 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 I'm never going back there. Mm-hmm. So if you can share what's appropriate for you to share, can you recall when you went into that 2 or 3 hour kind of sadness? What was your thinking and how did you get out of it?
Well, like there's always an incident, right? And so I think I got in a little tiff with my boyfriend and his stepkids, then that has always been kind of struggle to navigate sometimes. Yep. And you start going down the old thoughts. And not that I'm not enough, I didn't quite go down that hole, but just like feeling like I needed to get love from him and why isn't he doing the things I need him to do? And then, but I would have the awareness and question myself, like, is that really true? And it's like, no, but I just want to have a pity party for a second. And you just, if I'm being honest, and it's like, I know it's not true. I know I need to do the work to get out of it, but I'm just upset right now. And so your thoughts, because of this training, just kept coming back to very compassionately being like, now, is that true? What can we be doing here? How can we looking at this? Why don't we write down our emotions and what we're feeling and maybe where this came from and what you're really feeling? And are you being 6-year-old little JoJo that didn't get the love she needed and you're projecting that and just going through that whole process and steps and then coming to my partner too. We've worked on this a lot too and saying, okay, well, that happened and I'm feeling this way. It's not your fault, but I'd like to talk through it and tell you what I'm feeling and work through it a lot more in a healthy way versus just stonewalling you because I don't want to talk to you because of what you just did, like how I would be in the past. So
unbelievably, I love it. So if you download the tracker, you'll get these instructions. But what I teach my clients, and Joe is doing amazingly well, is you identify the emotion. I'm feeling sad. You give yourself compassion by saying, it's okay, Joe, you're feeling sad, because it is the little 6-year-old Joe. It's not the adult Joe. And then you try to figure out where it's coming from. And now that Joe's done the work, we know exactly where it came from. It came from certain scenes in her childhood when she was made to feel that she wasn't loved. And as she's processing this is something new I've added, Joe, is come up with 3 or 4 things around the situation that you're grateful for. So I'm grateful that my now fiance, that was boyfriend, is healthy. I'm grateful that he really does care for me. I'm grateful that he's got kids that I love. And then finally, you go back to what is the thought that started this whole thing? And you identified it. He's not giving me what I want. So therefore, maybe he doesn't love me, and therefore I'm not enough or I'm not lovable. You ask yourself, is that the truth? Well, no, now you know that's not the truth. So boom, you can snap out of it. So how did you get out of that 2-hour kind of sadness streak?
I think from having that conversation with him and working through it in a much more healthy way, you just kind of breathe through it and then you choose why that happened and let's choose to communicate better and move forward. So yeah, usually comes to confronting the issue in a much healthier, loving way than just going down rabbit holes. So one of the other things that attracted me so much to you is I also thought like I didn't have any major trauma as a kid. I wasn't molested and yeah, I got spanked with a belt and put in the corner and all this stuff and other things, but whatever, that's made me stronger and it's not a big deal. But really, it is a big deal that doesn't know any better and was just maybe didn't feel like playing baseball and you get punished so harsh for that or something. Like I think so many people don't think they need this because they didn't have these major T harsh traumas. But I know you say this on every episode too. It doesn't matter if you think you had the perfect childhood. There's inevitably some things happen. We're all human and our parents were human and things happen that your subconscious is hanging on to that if you could just kind of address it, probably be a lot more filled.
I mean, I'm going to hire you. Like you were just blowing me away. Like, you know, this stuff, I mean, you're going to be able to help so many freaking people. It's amazing. So let's talk about spanking for a little bit, because that was part of my trauma. But I actually try not to say the word trauma because people check out. People are like, oh, spanking isn't trauma. Hell yeah, it's trauma. Because when you're 6 years old, I pick 6 years old just as a number. 6 is my favorite number. I was born on the 6. When you're 6 years old and you're getting hit with a belt, your father and your mother are supposed to support you. They're supposed to see you, understand you, care for you, protect you. When you get hit by a belt, are they doing any of those things? Yeah. Someone might say, oh, they're caring for you because they're teaching you a lesson. No, they're not teaching you shit. What they're teaching you is they're teaching you to not love yourself, because why would your parent, who is supposed to be this amazing person, inflict physical harm and violence and shame on you? And for the people who say, oh, it made me stronger or it's good for them, shame on you, because it's not true. And science shows that. Kids misbehave for one reason only. They lack connection with the parent. So the person who's spanking the child likely created the situation in the first place. So yeah, if you were spanked and you think, oh, I was spanked repeatedly as a kid, but other than that, I didn't have any problems. So, and it made me stronger and it made me a better father, better whatever, maybe so. But for the vast majority of the population, that's not what it does. It teaches you something about yourself that's not good. So if you spank your kids, please, please, please stop spanking your kids. If you put your kids in timeout, please stop putting your kids in timeout. I'm not the guy that wants to give your kids ribbons for spelling and doing all these silly things, I promise you. But putting your kid in timeout, they're misbehaving because they lack connection. What does putting them further disconnecting them going to do? What does taking a child who has problems and putting them into a juvenile detention center? That's not what that kid needs. Sorry to get on the soapbox, but it's not what that kid needs. What that kid needs is a parent who's going to love them. So start teaching the parents of these kids, if they want to, how to actually love themselves so that they can love their children. So yeah, amazing.
Yeah. And I did have a lot of kind of anger and resentment for my dad for doing that until we worked through this, because I realized he just did exactly what his parents did to him. And I just found this level of compassion for him that I didn't think was possible, because I don't know, they're just repeating their patterns, and it takes somebody to finally break that pattern, I feel like, and to really love themselves to then radiate that to their family.
Absolutely. He was probably told that when you misbehave, you get punished, you get hit. And if you don't get hit, oh my gosh, like you're going to be a terrible kid, right? Mm-hmm. My daughter, who's now just turned 16 about 2 years ago, she came and I've got a very large bedroom and I have a couch. And she's like, Dad, why didn't you let me sleep in your room when I was scared? And I thought to myself, because I thought it would mess you up. I didn't know that putting you back in your room that I knew was safe was like putting you into a lion's den. So if I could replay it, I would have her sleep on that couch anytime she wanted. Give your kid what they need. I'm not talking about possession. Kids need love. They need to be seen. When they're scared, they need to be protected. If you do that for your kid, you're going to teach them how to love themselves. And then they're going to go out and find a healthy partner instead of just recreating the stuff we always do. Just like you said, Joe. Your dad's dad, whatever, did something to him. So he felt a certain way about himself. So he treated you a certain way. And then maybe you had kids and you did the same thing. One of the greatest gifts we can give our children is to break this curse, this multi-generational curse. And you do it by teaching them how to love themselves unconditionally. And you do that by loving yourself unconditionally. So amazing stuff. So as we wrap up, how do you envision your life being different than you did, say, a year ago?
I just know that this is going to be my lifelong practice, these exercises, just like exercises. If I want to stay consistently happy and bright and light, and I feel like that's kind of my mission and purpose now, it's going to be amazing, and that I can help so many more people if I can stay consistent with that. And I see there'll be challenges and there'll be times I'm not going to be saying I'm going to be perfect by any means of never feeling low or depressed again, but man, I'm so full of hope that those days are way behind me now. And I have the tools and the resources I need to continue growing and learning and being the most mentally strong I can.
I love it. So when you came out of that 2 hours, the one thing that kicked you out, it was you just changed your thinking, right?
Yeah.
So could you have done that in 20 minutes or 2 minutes?
I guess I didn't know how. I had to do the work and go through this to figure out really how, because I read books and logically I thought I knew how to choose happiness.
What I'm talking about is the last 2 hour episode that you went through. It took you 2 hours and you went through and you used the tools. My question was, could you have done that in 2 minutes? Could you have gotten yourself back to that joy state rather than sit there for 2 hours?
Yes, I think I can. And I am going to work on that. And I have done that. And I want those continue to be that short.
Yeah, amazing. And if you do go a little longer, what are you going to do? You're likely going to have compassion for yourself. Like, it's okay, because it's way better than days at a time or a couple days a week, right?
Right, 100%.
So if you're listening to this and you're like, well, I got spanked, but I don't think it affects me. I don't think it affects my kids. You can take a simple quiz. It will take you all of about 2.5 minutes at 12 questions at bradchandler.com/quiz. And if you score lack of self-love or mild self-love, you probably are impacting your kids. You may not know it and you may be loving to them. It's really hard to give a child what they really need when you lack it. It's like if I asked you for 12 oranges, Joe, and you didn't have the 12 oranges, how would you ever give them to me? So anyway, if you want to take the quiz, it's at bradchandler.com/quiz. So Joe, if someone's on the fence, if they're listening to this and they're like, hey, I've got depression, I've tried Tony Robbins, I've tried medication, I've tried therapists, I've tried it all. What advice would you give them?
I mean, what are you going to lose? I mean, by going through some kind of coaching programs, I mean, Brad's amazing. I just think that you really don't have anything to lose. I think the worst case scenario is you'll be just how you are. But I think the upside is so tremendous and so worth it. And just to learn to get the tools, the hypnosis, everything, like I'm 100% a fan, going to promote you forever because it's life changing.
And if it's not me, honestly, I'd love to work with people, but I just want to make a difference in this world. So I think the message is, whether you work with Brad or not, if you think you've tried it all, and you haven't tried this route, you haven't tried at all, and there is hope for you. I can promise you that if you're struggling and you're not in a joyous state, it always comes back to your thinking. Don't listen to the medical community that says something's wrong with your brain. There's nothing wrong with your brain. You were born fine. It's these experiences that you went through as a child. So, Joe, tell us in the last couple seconds or a couple minutes, what do you do for a living and how can people reach you?
Sure. I am a real estate investor agent. I run a small team in North Idaho, Coeur d'Alene, Idaho, and just an entrepreneur. We're about to start another new business and just trying to set up the game so that I never want to retire and just have as much fun as possible. But if anyone needs help in North Idaho, I would love to help you. My email is joeturneridaho@gmail.com.
Awesome. Well, that concludes another episode of How to Be Happier for Entrepreneurs. Joe, thank you so much. I am literally so proud of you and so happy that you've made this transformation. I can't wait to follow you and see all the great things that happen in your life.
Thank you. Another, just to end with this, like I remember saying, if you could wave a magic wand and have your life the way you want it. And I just said, I just want it to have magic. And literally, like I just got engaged in the Blue Lagoon in Iceland. And there's so many serendipitous, magical moments happening. And I know it's because my thinking and my vibration and everything is attracting this. And so anybody on the fence, it's worth it.
100%. When I started giving back to the universe about 2.5 years ago, I mean, it is insane how many things on a daily basis just go my way. And I know it's because I'm giving love and I'm operating in love instead of fear and ego. So I can't be more proud of you. Thank you for your time. This concludes another episode of How to Be Happier for Entrepreneurs. And remember, love does heal all. Bye now.
Bye.
Hit subscribe if you don't want to miss out on more life-changing content. And if you're struggling, you don't have to. Go to bradchandler.com/contact. There, you can join the Facebook community of like-minded entrepreneurs, and you'll see a button to schedule your freedom and happiness call. See you on the next episode.